Alligator nostril.
I'm on the magic school bus.
Spank a plankton too.
While I'm sure we'd all love to take the magic school bus to either school or work, it's not an option for us just yet, although I am interested in finding out how sustainable that might be. But for now, there are a couple of options. A normal bus, train, driving the car, walk if you're lucky. So how do you get to work? Well, I went to the streets to find out.
Transport, public transport, trains basically.
By bus.
I just live nearby, so I just come by walk.
I walk to work.
Commute via train.
Just by walk.
I cycle.
And why do you take that type of transport?
Because it's faster and more economical.
Because I think I hate buses and trains, and it gives me fresh air and it's fun, and you know, you get to speed around little corners and feel like you've had a bit of fun.
Yeah, I love to drive cars.
If I can drive, I will drive.
No, I'd always walk.
By the sounds of it, everyone is doing it differently. But which way is the worst for the environment?
If you go from top to bottom, private car, followed by train, bus and trams and all of those things, down to cycles and then walking.
That's Lena Thomas. She's an associate professor from the Faculty of Design, Building and Architecture at UTS.
There's two parts to it, of course. One is, of course, the mode of transport, and the other is the length of the trip. But if you were to consider for the same trip length, then travel by private car would be the most carbon-intensive mode of transport. And that's taking into account the fact that probably many, many trips might involve a little bit of car share or things like that. And of course, right at the other end of the scale, if you cycle to work or you walk to work, that would be your zero carbon mode of transport. So in between that comes public transport.
Those being mostly buses and trains. Now, Lena mentioned that trains are in fact worse than buses, which I thought was the other way around. So why are they worse?
There's a range of intensity factors that are applied based on occupancy of the public transport over the time of day, etc. And the fact that, say, for example, in Sydney, we've got trains that run off electricity, and many of our buses are natural gas, which actually puts our trains slightly above our buses in terms of the carbon intensity that we apply.
So when I went to the streets, most people were keen to commute on public transport or cycling around where they could. But does that mean everyone's thinking about green transport?
Well, yes and no, in different sorts of ways. And I suppose in our study, while we were looking at census data on one level, we were also looking at surveys of individual buildings. We did find that people were keen to tell us about how they were using the new cycleways or using the facilities within a building to help them. Others were very much more interested in, as you would expect, convenience and the time takes to get there. And in that context, it would be a case of going by car, because the choices, it would be a much more circuitous trip if you had to travel switching a number of modes of transport just in order to use public transport.
As well as looking at the carbon cost of getting to work, Lena and her team are also looking at what happens once you get there.
Tackling energy emissions in buildings as well as in transport are some of our easy ways to think about how we can reduce carbon emissions for our city. And so in that sense, both of them have, or they lend themselves to that question. And we looked at two buildings in two different locations. So we picked a building in the CBD in Sydney, as well as another building in Macquarie Park. Both these buildings were pretty similar in terms of the kind of workforce, as well as the kind of office layout, even the office density of number of people within the space, etc. And also quite well connected when you think about their access to public transport in terms of buses as well as trains. So the one in Macquarie Park area was very close to the North Ryde train station.
So think about the place where you work. What things inside the building are using energy? Or what things are attached to some sort of grid to power them? There might even be some things consuming a whole lot of energy that you might not be aware of.
So when you think about emissions that come from a building and when you think about a workplace, there's energy that's consumed for aircon, there's energy for lighting the place, there's energy that's consumed for the lifts, energy that goes into all of the plug loads in an office space, which would be computers and photocopiers and coffee machines and all of those sort of things. And there is a standard methodology that is used to calculate that energy in terms of a per square meter per annum number that then is converted into equivalent carbon emissions. So that covers the whole gamut of energy that's consumed in that lettable area for that office building.
Now, your place of work might be somewhere smaller, a small office. You might work from home. It might not be as big as these office spaces that Lena is referring to. But if you think about how many people are working in these places and how many times a week, how many hours they spend in commute, it's got me thinking, is the commute or are these buildings more carbon efficient?
The emissions from the building were greater than the commuting emissions from those buildings. But what we found, interestingly, was that as the efficiency of buildings increases, and this is actually where a lot of attention is at the moment, the slice of the pie that comes from commuting emissions increases. That is, as the building side gets more efficient, it becomes really important to talk about the commuting emissions. And that's probably also going to be a greater matter as we move to things like renewable energy to offset the emissions of the building. The other thing that we also found, which was quite interesting, was the fact that when you look at the results of the building in Macquarie Park or even the census data that comes out of Macquarie Park, despite having the train station, the people in that location, only 20% of them or less were using public transport, and a significant group was still using cars to get there. And the reason for that is something we talked about earlier, the difficulty of getting the right connectivity. So the fact that you just have the closest train station doesn't in itself make you catch a train. It relates to network connectivity. And at the moment, that's something that's only present in the CBD location. So as buildings move to locations other than the CBD, if we don't have the supporting infrastructure to give those other locations good network connectivity in terms of choices for public transport, it doesn't really translate into the best results. So if you got a five-star energy building in the city and you were relocating it into another location, you might actually find a half-star energy drop in its overall impact because of its location.